This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, of course, on the call. This is Rahimi and Harris live from Gallagher Way here on 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf in for Marshall Harris, and we are happy to be joined by our guest this morning. Carter Hawkins, the Cubs general manager, is here. And of course, during our conversations with Carter, we highlight the work of Paws Chicago, whose mission is to build no-kill communities to end the overpopulation of homeless animals and to transform animal welfare. Carter, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And exciting about Paws, there's an event coming up on the 21st that my wife's going to be at, and we'll have some great dogs and some kittens to potentially adopt, which we're excited about to be out here in Gallagher Way. So everybody should check it out.
Oh, you can come to Gallagher Way and be a part of it. That's great to know. So that's on July 21st. And I know you have nothing going on between today, July 18th, and July 31st. It's a very quiet time for you. So let's just start with the series that is ahead of us. I feel like we said earlier in our last segment, it's a good thing that you've got a series with the Yankees bookended by the All-Star game and the All-Star break, and then a series coming up with the Red Sox, because hottest team in baseball, of course, winners of 10 straight. How do you look at this as an evaluation for what your team needs over the next 10 days?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Red Sox are a really good team, and the Yankees are a really good team. We played a lot of really good teams over the course of the first half, and you know, over 50% of the season thus far. And so I think, you know, look, like each of these games are really important, you know, because they're one of the 162, and not trying to be cliche about it, but, you know, our team has to just focus on, you know, what are we going to do today to win? And no matter whether it's, you know, the Dodgers, the Yankees, or a team that's not win as many games as them, you know, we got to put our best foot forward to win the baseball game. You see a lot of teams making upsets. It's baseball, right? Like it's, you know, there's the best team might have a 60% chance of winning, right? Like that's 40% happens a lot. So, you know, for us, it's really just trying to focus on each day. But I certainly understand, you know, externally how this could be seen with a little bit more importance. And, you know, look, anytime we can play with the type of atmosphere that we're going to have this week and throughout the second half, it just helps prepare for some hopefully really meaningful games in October.
I said in the first segment, I'm annoyed by the Brewers that they won't just go away. Do you guys feel the same way, or do you like that it's kind of a close race and it kind of pushes both the guys on the field and you guys in the front office to maybe take this thing to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously would prefer non-close races, right? we're on top, but, you know, I think Craig talked about it really well. We just can't focus on what other teams are doing, right? There's, especially with the way the playoffs work now, you know, there's definitely the division, and then there's the wild cards, and then there's the seeds, and you know, really, like, you can get yourself really confused with, hey, who do I want to win this game, and try to scoreboard watch and figure out different things. And at the end of the day, if you just take care of your business, you're going to end up in a really good place. And, you know, if we can continue to have a second half like we did in the first half and focus on little things, like, we're going to be just fine. And the Brewers play well, great for them. If somebody else plays well, great for them too.
I think it is good, though, that he said not just, okay, we want to win the division, but that he put a number to it. You know, he said benchmark is a 90-win team, and I feel like it's reflected in how this team is operated and how this team has performed. Like, to have that hard number standard and just something to aspire to and to understand. You see it, I feel like, reflected every day. You know, what does it mean to you to know that that's something that obviously is a goal of yours, but then it helps players, I think, visualize and helps everybody else understand what the mission statement is.
Yeah, I mean, so the mission statement is certainly not, you know, 90 wins, right? It's you know, try to win every game. It's try to win a World Series. But, you know, I think from a true talent perspective, and I'll nerd out here for a second, you know, when someone talks about a 90-win team, they're talking about a 90-win true talent team, which means that beginning of the year, given the stats and numbers for that team, they should win 90 games if you simulated that season a thousand different times. But there's a standard deviation of that. There's, you know, a plus minus where, you know, there's anywhere from, you know, 8 to 10 wins above 90 and anywhere but 8 to 10 wins below 90 that you'll see within these standard deviations, which means 90 win teams can win 100 games. 90 win teams can win 80 games. And, you know, there's certainly at the very tails of those, there's 110 wins and there's 70 wins. The point for us is, you know, look, we have a good enough team to be an electric team that's playing deep in October. To do that, we have to stay healthy. We have to do little things. We have to win every single game. But we know we have that talent. Like, we don't have to get lucky. We just have to play really, really well and play to our talent level. And we do that. It should be a pretty great environment here.
I know you guys never like to say you're surprised by success. But if I told you Justin Steele would be lost for the season, Shota would be lost for a couple of months, you haven't seen Javier Assad yet, would you think we're sitting here today talking about two of the best teams in baseball about to do battle in a three-game series inside Wrigley Field?
And that's definitely a punch to the gut. But, you know, I think at the same time we would have said, hey, look, we got some resilience and we're going to be able to figure out ways to win baseball games. Now, how did that happen, right? And, you know, our starting pitching has definitely held up its end of the bargain with the guys that we've had, but there's opportunity to get better. You know, same with our bullpen. Early year, struggled a little bit, has gotten really good over the course of, you know, the rest of the year. We've had some guys come in and just be lights out, you know, the Pomeranzes, the Flexons of the world, and then, you know, kind of the entry of Palencia into the closer's role has been really fun to see. But, you know, our offense has really been what's carried, you know, this club thus far. You know, it's a top offense in the league. You know, we're hitting home runs, we're stealing bases. Our defense has helped our pitching out really, really well. You know, so that position player group overall, you know, I think is what has put us in the position we are today. And now it's about helping supplement them and helping them continue to do what they've done in the first half.
With a reported 25 teams being potential buyers at the trade deadline, when you know that a team like the Diamondbacks, who could change the entire, I think, fabric, you know, the atmosphere of the trade deadline, they could change the entire game there for a team who is a buyer like the Cubs. How do you figure out who's available and how do you figure out who you want?
Yeah, I mean, the who you want are the guys that you feel like are going to make your team better, right? So that part's easy. Now, figuring out if they're available, you know, everyone's available for a price to some extent. You know, I'm sure if we, you know, dangled something crazy out there, we could probably shake loose anyone. But you don't do that because it'll probably make your team worse, right? So it's hitting the phones. It's staying on top of every team. It's, you know, these things can change really, really quickly, especially this time of year. You know, the Red Sox have won 10 straight. Right, they weren't necessarily in this position 10 games ago. There's going to be another team that wins 10 straight. There's going to be a team that, you know, loses a few games over the course of the next week, and that's going to change positions and change you know, what teams are willing to do or not to do. You look at us in 2023; we were not in a position to buy. We were in a position that we're going to try to recruit some value, and then we had that streak and ended up, you know, trying to make a run towards the playoffs there. So, long story short, we just have to stay on the phones, have to make sure that we're expressing interest in all of the guys that we think can make our team better, figure out the cost, and then figure out the best decision to make us better, not only for this year, but for the future.
Do you get the sense that over the last few weeks, with teams like the Red Sox getting hot, that the landscape or the market has changed based on the conversations you're having with it? And how much do you think it could change between now and July 31st?
I think the landscape of the market has changed. I think everyone realizes that it will be really volatile, and so everyone kind of takes a 10,000-foot view this time of year and really starts to lock in over the course of the next, you know, 5 to 10 days. So I think everyone's wise to the fact that there's nothing that's really certain right now. And in order to get a deal done, you would have to overpay significantly. And so for the most part right now, it's trying to figure out who's available, trying to figure out generally what their cost is, and then everyone sets their thresholds, and when people are ready to strike, they strike.
We're talking to Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins, thanks in part to his partnership with Paws Chicago. An event is here at Gallagher Way on July 21st. That's in just 3 days with Raheem Ian Harris here on The Score. I also want to ask you, what is it going to take for one of those spendy trades where you know you've already made one in Cam Smith, Isaac Paredes, and Hayden Wesneski going over to Houston for Kyle Tucker? We know that that's this time of year where you're going to have to part with somebody you may not want to part with. Owen Casey's name has come up a lot. What does it take to part with a guy like Casey or somebody like that to get a particular need for your team?
I mean, I think when you're talking about, you know, what would you be willing to spend for a particular player, it's about the impact of that player and how long you're getting that impact. You know, so right now with the deadline, you know, you're talking about, you know, if you're getting a rental player, you're talking about just, you know, 50-ish games, you know, that you're going to have that player for, you know, certainly high impact games, but, you know, they're not getting them for 3 seasons, 4 seasons, things of that nature. So that's something we'll definitely keep in mind as we're talking to teams. Is this for a rental? Is this for a player that, you know, has some control attached to him? How much did this player cost, right? Is he control with a lot of salary attached to him, or control with a little bit of salary attached to him? When we're trading a player from, you know, our prospect group, those guys have 6 years of control and they're not super expensive. For that reason, they're really, really valuable. And so it's trying to figure out both ends of that balance sheet and making sure that when you trade young, inexpensive, controllable talent, that you're getting some impact talent for hopefully a really long time.
When you're weighing the future versus now and considering these types of moves, and you're having the type of season that you're having now, does the philosophy change, and does the present hold more weight than it normally would in another type of season?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever you have a chance to go deep into the playoffs, make the playoffs, you know, you definitely try to take advantage of that. You realize, you know, how sacred that is, right? It just doesn't happen every season. You know, there's not many teams that, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years in a row have had even 50% playoff odds going into the season. There's a handful of them. So, you know, everyone feels like, oh, there's a 100% chance we're going to make the playoffs this year, 90% chance we're going to make the playoffs this year. It's just not the case. There's a couple of teams that have had that, but, you know, certainly, you know, that's the exception, not the rule. You think about time value of money, right? You know, when people win the lottery, they usually take the upfront payment, right? Because everybody wants things now. I think that happens in baseball too. And so, yeah, you're valuing the win today a little bit more than the win, you know, 4 years, 5 years from now. But you're not ignoring 4 years, 5 years from now. You're not saying those don't matter. Putting some sort of discount, that's a conversation with ownership. That's a conversation, you know, within the office. And then you put that discount, apply it to whatever deals you're making, and then make a decision.
What is the biggest need for this team, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the position group has been really, really good. And there's certainly ways we can help fortify that. But, you know, for us, it's how can we, you know, kind of raise the bar with our arms, both in the rotation and in the bullpen. And, you know, that's going to come from our current guys getting better. And it's going to come from, you know, potentially bringing some guys on board. And we'll take it from there.
There's a lot about this team where you go, how long can they keep this up? And one of them is something that's not in your control. Almost every one of your position players have stayed healthy. I think they've all played a minimum of 85 games, if I'm not mistaken. Do you guys plan on that health, or do you kind of plan or at least have a backup plan for in case something should happen and you're not that lucky in the second half?
It's kind of two-pronged, right? You're always planning for having as much depth as you possibly can because you understand how volatile things are and how things can change really quickly. And even, you know, some of the things out of your control. What's in our control, though, is, you know, other than trying to plan for that depth, is our strength guys, our medical guys, our baseball guys doing everything they possibly can to put our players in a really healthy position each day. Now, that's what they eat. That's what they drink. That's how they hydrate. That's their time on their feet. That's the work they do before the game, the work they do after game, to put their bodies in the best possible position to be able to sustain that 162-game workload. Doesn't mean guys aren't going to get hurt, but you can definitely mitigate that risk. So try to mitigate the risk as much as possible. We try to have as many, you know, alternative plans as possible as well. And when you do both of those things, you're more than likely to end up in a better place.
What is the latest on Miguel Amaya and Javier Assad? You know, when I think about acquiring players, getting your own guys back is a huge help, obviously. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're looking at August for both of those guys, you know, which would be really, really nice to have them back. Now, our catching group has done great as Miggy's been out. You know, obviously, Reese McGuire's been outstanding in terms of his ability to be our second catcher, and Carson's had just a heck of a year. And then, you know, obviously, the more starting pitching you can have, the better. And certainly a guy like Javi that's done it before and pitched in multiple roles will be great to have. So we'll get these guys back in rehab games here soon and hopefully have them here in August.
One of the positions that people do talk about when it comes to your everyday position players, third base, and Matt Shaw, who's struggled with the bat. The glove has been great, though. How much does that weigh in terms of the defense he brings every day versus the offense he brings every day and your guys' decision-making and what you might do at third base?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we're definitely looking at. His defense, like you said, has been great. You know, he's provided value, you know, to the Cubs. You know, you go to Baseball Reference, I think he got, you know, 0.9, you know, B-war or something like that, which is not nothing. And it's certainly something that's helped us win some games in some certain places. But, you know, obviously offensively we want more out of that position. And, you know, that could just be Matt, right? Like Matt, mm-hmm. We feel really strongly about his bat. We think that he's going to be a good hitter. You look around the league at, you know, young hitters that are going to play really, really well that aren't currently, just haven't made the adjustment yet to the league. You saw what happened with Pete last year. We fully expect that to be Matt as he continues to make adjustments. But we're also at some critical times right now where development can't be the focus on our major league club. So, you know, it's something that we'll be looking into. But, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Matt Shaw and his ability to be a great player for us moving forward.
Carter Hawkins, thank you so much for joining us here in Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And once again, an event here at Gallagher Way,
yes,
on
ma'am.
The 21st, where you can have an adoption event. Carter joins us thanks to the work of Paws Chicago, whose mission is to build no-kill communities to end overpopulation of homeless animals and transform animal welfare.
That's a great cause.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Love that.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Carter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart.
$4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
I get a lot of kids that tell me they want to be like PCA. For the kids that want to be like you, what would you tell them?
I hope you be exactly how you are supposed to be. I've dealt with, trying to emulate other people and focusing a little bit less on myself and what makes me great and unique. And I think that is so important for kids that play this game or don't. To understand that, you know, there's so much to offer and everybody's so nice and unique in their own individual way.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. A nice thoughtful answer from PCA during the All-Star Game, and we are delighted to welcome in Matthew Robertson of GQ Magazine. He is a fine journalist and wrote an excellent story about Pete Crow Armstrong, well worth reading. Matthew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, fellas.
Well, we appreciate it. And, it's not the easiest thing in the world to write a story about a 23-year-old star in the making. I mean, this is a guy coming into his own. He seems like a really good dude. He is a guy that can talk about what he's been through, but there's not like a world of experience behind a 23-year-old wunderkind. How did you find him when you sat down with him?
Yeah, exactly. In this line of work, I've learned more often than not that the older guys are usually a little easier to talk to because they have that well of experience to draw from. So when I met Pete, I was, I had prepared a bunch of stuff to kind of get him going, you know what I mean? Like stuff that I thought that a 23-year-old would respond to. And it turned out I didn't really need any of it. He's a great talker. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He really gets it, I think, for lack of a better term. And the thing that really surprised me about meeting him in person is how, like, level he is. You know, like when you meet a younger, excitable person, you kind of expect them to go A to Z. Or, I was expecting when I brought up the Mets that would kind of, put him into his media training and he'd do the whole, like, oh, I'm just grateful to be here, yada, yada, yada. But he gave very thoughtful answers on everything and didn't seem like someone who had to rely on the old, like, some athletes will do the it's all God's plan or whatever cliche an athlete prefers. He doesn't do any of that. He talks like a normal person, and it made for a really, I thought, insightful conversation and a fun article. So I would encourage everyone to read it. You get a side of Pete that goes beyond just baseball. If you're only watching him play, I think you can learn a lot about his personality from this story. But yeah, it was, I thought it would be harder than it was, I guess, to extract real interesting stuff from him, but he was ready to go. And I think part of that is due to his background, growing up around actors and, other kids who are kind of in the same spotlight or fame adjacent. It makes for a very interesting upbringing, I'm sure.
It's really well done, and you clearly have experience dealing with professional athletes, specifically baseball players. You covered the Mets. You covered the Yankees. You worked at the Daily News in New York, and you're talking to two former sports writers, guys who have been through this kind of process before, which I find interesting with PCA. He's somebody who is burst onto the scene with Major League Baseball, and certainly here in Chicago. So how difficult was it to kind of navigate through those kinds of things to set this up? And I think, what was your intent in terms of bringing attention to somebody who has been as popular as he has suddenly become?
Yeah, I think the intent was to, highlight a baseball player who is having a great season and, in many ways a historic season. But also, if we can just be frank, a professional baseball player who has a real interesting, vibrant personality, because those are few and far between, I guess. And one thing that that Pete and I talked about that didn't end up making the story was, when he burst onto the scene, both with, the Mets initially, and then when he gets traded to the Cubs and has to kind of reintroduce himself to that organization, he understands that he's kind of not for everybody, right? Like, especially in a sport as steeped in tradition as baseball. You know, when a kid shows up and he's never played a major league game and he's got bleach blonde hair and he's got the earrings and he's got his cool clothes, you know, there's players who are going to bristle at that and say, oh, what have you done to earn this, young man? You know what I mean? Like, let's save the flash until you're an established big leaguer. And, you know, Pete didn't really care about all that. He's, you know, as you guys probably are well aware of, he's someone who's going to be himself no matter what. But, you know, he told stories about, you know, getting pulled aside by certain people. He wouldn't, you know, name names, but certain people would be like, hey, tone it down. And then on the flip side, you know, names that he did mention were guys like Francisco Lindor and Dom Smith, who was on the Mets at the time, being like, hey, man, just don't worry about all that. Keep doing you. You know, you don't make it as far as you have in this game without, you know, holding on to the stuff that makes you unique, which we heard him talk about, you know, in that viral clip during the All-Star game. So the intent was to show that, like, you know, there is this 23-year-old kid, and who knows what'll be, you know, who knows what will become of the rest of his career. But right now we've got one of the best players in the game who likes being famous. He likes talking about, you know, how this all happened to him, and he's not someone who's going to shy away from, you know, being a little swaggy, a little different. And that's kind of, you know, the whole thing that we're after at GQ Sports is, you know, the personalities behind the game. So as far as setting it up, I mean, I have to tip my hat also to the Cubs PR team. Joanna Schimmel was fantastic in setting this up. She was, you know, kind of the brains behind it. I didn't have to do a lot of pitching. They were like, hey, Pete's going to be in New York for the Yankee series. If you're around, he's around. So I can't thank Joanna enough. The logistics part was actually not very hard. It was trying to, you know, find a time that works for us and everything. But as far as, like, getting Pete to agree to it, he was very down from the beginning.
You know, I chuckled to myself as I thought of the idea that he went to high school at Harvard Westlake, which, of course, the White Sox player Lucas Giolito went there with Max Fried and Jack Flaherty. They had a great staff out of there, and it's a great baseball school. But as you point out in the story, you know, Shirley Temple went there, the Gyllenhaals went there. Like, there's a lot of famous people in the entertainment industry that have wandered through the gates of that prep school. Are guys like that, are people that grow up in the sort of LA scene, are they, you know, you mentioned early, like, his PR training, you were worried it would kick in. These guys are all different than in the old days. You get a lot of people that have been trained, and certainly at a school like that, they kind of are copped on a little bit as to what people are looking for and what they want to know about them.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think in Pete's case, I think the thing that helps him stay so grounded and level-headed is the fact that his parents weren't mega super famous. You know what I mean? If his name was, I don't know, I was trying to think of a last, if his name was Pete DiCaprio, you know, I think he's a much different young man than if he's Pete Crow Armstrong. You know, we have the line in there about how his parents would celebrate a 3-cent residual check. He also told me a story about his dad having to go back to school because he, you know, could see the writing on the wall and about, you know, I'm not going to become an A-list actor. You know, this is kind of, I found my place in this industry and it's not, you know, exactly as lucrative as people would think. So yeah, Pete told me a story about his dad going back to school and then he had to, you know, end up waiting tables and his dad was, you know, going to work at 8 p.m. while Pete was just getting done with all of his baseball and homework activities. And his dad was making friends with, you know, college-age kids while Pete was kind of himself becoming a college-age kid. So I think all of that just helps with his perspective on the world and realizing that, like, yes, I grew up in a very privileged environment. You know, he made no bones about the fact that, like, we did not struggle, but we were not, you know, we weren't driving Lamborghinis to school. And I think that, you know, that provides for an interesting kind of just take on the world, right, where it's like I understand that, you know, the position I'm in is very cool and that, like, the things that I did growing up are very different than, you know, kids who grew up in other parts of the world. But at the same time, like, that's going to impact, you know, everything around me. So I have this view of what, you know, the top of the top is. And I also know that I'm not there yet. And I think that that's becoming apparent in his, you know, his baseball. Like, he knows that he had a great first half of the 2025 season, but there's still a long ways to go. And I think that kind of comes from you know, his upbringing and the fact that, like, yeah, my parents had a couple good gigs, but those can dry up. You know what I mean? Like, it's not forever. So I think the drive that you're going to see from him comes from kind of that experience of watching a 3 cent residual check come through the mail.
We're talking with Matthew Roberson from GQ Sports, who just wrote a profile on Pete Crow Armstrong. You want to check out here on Mullay and Haw. So Matthew, when you look at and you what you just spoke about, I think that Pete Crow Armstrong has been so easy to like, and I think part of his charm is that he balances a type of bravado with a natural humility, which I don't think you often see with guys who come from privilege or guys who maybe succeed early and often in their careers. How do you explain that? Is it just the upbringing? Is it something that he experienced early on, maybe overcame? Because I think that it comes through in the story, and it certainly comes through for anyone who's paying attention to PCA.
Yes, exactly. I agree. I think that probably comes a little bit from the upbringing, like you mentioned, and that we've been talking about the whole time. But I think also in his case and the case of a lot of young baseball players, it comes, I think, a little bit from getting traded so young, because I think that is something that is kind of unique to baseball. I guess I don't totally follow hockey that closely, but I think those are the two sports really where you'll see someone get traded in the minors before they've ever made it to the pros, right? And the place that puts you in, you know, again, to lean on an old sports cliche, it really teaches a young man in Pete's case, who is 19, that this is a business, right? And that no matter how prized you are, you know, you were a first round pick, you had this amount of money in your signing bonus, like you can wake up one day and, oh, you've been traded for Javier Baez. And, you know, that's a guy that won a World Series and was, you know, a huge, I don't have to explain Javier Baez to you guys, but it was a huge figure in the Chicago sports scene. And then a kid who had played 6 minor league games and blew out his shoulder now is getting traded for him. I think that probably helped kind of make Pete realize, like, okay, you know, in any trade, there's one team that wants you. So he was excited to go to the Cubs. But also that, like, hey, you know, as bleak as it might sound in a lot of ways, I'm a pawn on this chessboard, right? Major League Baseball is a corporation. They have, you know, there's a lot of plans that go on for you outside of your own control in this sport. And I think that happening to him so quickly, and also, you know, just circumstantially right on the heels of COVID, you know, he had a very odd start to his career. And I think that, you know, when that happens to someone in any line of work, it kind of makes you go like, oh, well, you know, that's out of the way now, you know, like now I can focus on the stuff that actually matters. I got the annoying hardship out of the way very early.
It's fascinating that you got a chance to talk to him in New York, that he came from the Mets and now he's with the Cubs. And I don't know that his fame has many limits on it in Chicago, especially on the North Side, going to Cub games, you know, playing for the Cubs, being around there. It's got to be, you know, just for a young guy, it must be a bizarre reality to become as famous as he is in the small circle he lives in. And then you go to New York, and I'm sure, like anybody in New York, you know, we always talk about going to a Super Bowl in New York and how it was the first time I'd ever been anywhere where the Super Bowl didn't overpower the city. It was just one. It was in one neighborhood. It wasn't the whole bloody city.
By the way, it's here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could go to other places and no one would even know what was going on.
Yeah, no, I think that appeal is nice for Pete when he's visiting, because he doesn't have to get swarmed by people on the street being like, oh my God, you're Pete Crow Armstrong, or like, you know, you have to relive kind of the, like, oh, my grandpa was a Mets fan and his, you know, like, you don't have to deal with the whole conversation of what, you know, the Mets mean or what baseball means to these people, because Pete can just walk down the street unbothered in New York. So when we were sitting in this coffee shop, I was kind of waiting. I was curious to see if anyone would be like, hey, are you Pete Crow Armstrong, and ask for a photo or ask for an autograph or whatever. Didn't happen at all. He was very able to just blend right in. I think wearing a hat in his case helps. You know, I know he doesn't have the blonde hair with the blue stars anymore, but even just the orange curls are very notable. So no one recognized him, which I think he probably liked. You know, it allows him to kind of just live a normal lifestyle. In Chicago, you know, I think it's a little different. He did mention that, you know, he's not going out a ton in Chicago just because, A, it's not super duper in line with his personality to, like, you know, go 3 for 4 and then, you know, hit the club afterwards. But also because he's, you know, he is someone who understands that this game can be very difficult. It can be very fleeting. You know, you can go 5 for 5 one day and 0 for 5 the next day. So I think he really understands that, like, if I let the fame eat me, it's going to become a problem. So let's try to keep it at arm's length right now. And I do think that, you know, for a lot of people, that is the appeal of New York. I think that's why he feels comfortable here, is because he's like, hey, you know, the fame monster lives here, but I have the tools to defeat it. And I think that's what made for such a like, kind of laid-back conversation. As I mentioned in the story, I was surprised at how kind of chill he was when we met.
And there is a boyishness that I think Midwesterners tend to appreciate, and I think he's really relatable in that way. He isn't a guy as much swag as he has, and maybe he's a little bit flashy at times, but I just think he relates to kids, and he says things like during the All-Star game, right, about right, being your unique self and giving advice like that. It's almost too good to be true at times.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, that thought did cross my mind. You know, you're kind of waiting for someone to say something where you're like, wow, you know, I'm glad you said that, but your PR team is going to be upset that you said that, you know? And he doesn't have that. He doesn't have to slip up. I think he's very charming in the way that, you know, he'll mix in the F-bomb very liberally in his conversations. He says dude a lot. He talks in a way where you realize, like, okay, you're treating this like a conversation and not so much like an interview. And
right.
That's really nice. You know, the goal is always to make them forget that they're being recorded. Not in a gotcha way, of course, just in a, you know, I want you to feel natural and like, you know, we are peers rather than some sort of like, you know, interviewee power imbalance thing. So he is a little too good to be true, but I think it's in a way that's more charming than it is annoying. Because you see some baseball players like,
right,
you know, I'll throw out a name like Freddie Freeman, where he's never said anything that's even remotely controversial, but it comes from a little more of like a buttoned up, you know, all-American way. Whereas Pete is, yeah, kind of the, maybe it's a generational thing also where they're like, you know, that's not appealing to me. I don't want to be the boring superstar. I'd rather be the fun superstar.
Did he remind you of anybody you've interviewed throughout your career?
Ooh, that is a good question. You know, when I've interviewed people as young as he is, they haven't given us this much time. So it's a little bit of a different thing. I guess the one guy that I would kind of compare it to that I got like 15 minutes with a couple years ago at the Super Bowl was Joe Burrow. Just kind of another young, in some ways flashy. He likes clothes. He likes being famous, but not in a, you know, look at me sort of way. Just someone who's very comfortable in their fame and also, you know, knows that they're very good at their sport. That's really the only one I could think of off the top of my head, but when I was sitting there, I was marveling at how Pete is so unique unto himself, because this sport has a way of, you know, beating the personality out of you. And I hope it doesn't happen to him, because he has a great one and I want to see it flourish. You know, I guess the one thing I will say is it was funny to be sitting there talking to him at 23 and realize, like, it is impossible for me to picture what you will look like at 33, because he is so boyish and exuberant. You know, it's going to be fascinating to see how he ages just physically.
And he's got a girlfriend. That's kind of sweet. And you had a photo of them together in the story. Yeah. It's just, you know, we don't get all these details. It's just kind of a nice, it seemed like a very innocent, nice thing. He seemed proud to have a girlfriend.
And you did a great job putting it all together.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. He brought her along, and I felt like, you know, that was intentional. He wants her to be part of his life. You know, he understands that, you know, in the world that he's living in, it's helpful to have someone there with you at all times, whether it's, you know, a partner, or in some players' cases, it's like a sibling or a family member that they really rely on, or, you know, even like a manager or someone like that. So, yeah, I think, you know, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but I think in a lot of ways, she is kind of like a rock, or just like a presence that, you know, can take you out of baseball. You know, if you have a bad game, it's nice to have someone in your life who you can talk to that's, you know, not a baseball player. I've certainly talked to baseball players who, when they're around Pete's age or they're still on their first contract or whatever, are rooming with other members of the team, right? So if they have a bad game, they have to go back home and live with other guys who maybe they had a great game and, you know, their roommate had a terrible game. It just can create a weird dynamic where you're like immersed in baseball all the time. So I think with Pete and Haley, it's nice for him to have someone who, you know, takes him outside of that world when he needs it.
Great stuff. Matthew, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Nice
Great job.
Thanks, Matthew.
Of course. Yeah, this was fun. Thank you for having me.
That's Matthew Robertson from GQ Magazine. Fun story and a real good one. And yeah, he's a good kid. No
doubt
about
it. He really is.
All right. 312-644-6767. It is, of course, Mully and Haw. And you can hear us here on 670 The Score and the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
And when we come back, we're going to talk Bears.
Bears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
The Score! Gino last year, 30-100. Those are the magic numbers on the back of the bubblegum card.
Suarez drives it to left. Guido hits Gino!
Well, let's see, as Gracie pointed out on the pregame show, if they want to work into Gino Suarez, who got the tower buzz last night. There it goes. Number two for Gino. And the Diamondbacks have the lead. Suarez homered in the second, his second in this series.
Not only has he homered, he's hit some long homers.
Hurt ball swung on. That's it, Will. Out to deep left field. That one's going to go.
Suarez hits a high fly ball. Deep left center. Crow Armstrong. Can't get it. It's gone. He's homered in three straight to start the year.
You don't have privacy, Eugenio Suarez, because I even know it's your birthday. It's his birthday.
I know that song.
Is he in first place when it comes to available bats at the trade deadline? We examine here on Rahimi and Harris on the Score as we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We do the stalking segment. The stalking verb is a joke, but the intent and the internet time is very much on purpose, because as we try to figure out who's available potentially for the Cubs at this trade deadline, he comes up because he's one of the biggest bats who could be available. And there's no question that based on what he's doing, not just in his career, but relative to the rest of Major League Baseball right now, and the renaissance he has had is all worth examining on a Diamondbacks team where we're still trying to figure out, Marshall, if they're even going to be sellers because they have talent like him.
So with Eugenio Suarez, what's interesting, as you mentioned, he's 33 years old.
Today.
Yay! And he's producing at a high level. You know, he hadn't been an All-Star in 6 years. But now he's a two-time All-Star after making the All-Star team this year for the National League and the Diamondbacks.
Oh, it's tomorrow, because tomorrow's Friday. My bad.
Oh.
I shorted him a day in his life.
So that means he's turning 34?
I can't tell if it's Thursday or Friday because the pool party with Ozzy is throwing me off, okay? I'm going to be honest. But the point is, Eugenio Suarez has a birthday within the next 24 hours.
And he'll be 34.
All right, then. But at the same time, when you look at his stats, how about 31 home runs? You want to start there?
We can definitely start there. I think leading the league in RBI is a good thing, too. 78 of those.
The National League?
And so I think the biggest thing, the level of upgrade, because of what you're not getting offensively from the hot corner at third base, it would take this offense to another stratosphere in theory. And I think for him, he's a guy who actually has hit righties well, way better than lefties this season. But for his career, if you just start there, because we talked about the pitching, the problems the Cubs have had with left-handed pitching versus left-handed pitching, this man, a .255 hitter with a .355 on base, .480 slug, that's an .840 OPS in his career against left-handed pitching. That's great. That would give you someone, and we know how Craig Counsell is not opposed to moving around the lineup, someone who can bat in the 3-5 spot, or maybe 3-6, against left-handed starters.
The Cubs' struggles against lefties, we know, is established. The Cubs' struggles with the rest of Major League Baseball, relatively speaking, at third base, also established. So when you consider that, there's a big reason why he would be a wonderful fit on this team. He also has gone through a bit of a renaissance, as we've mentioned. The offensive numbers speak for themselves. But part of his success, because if you compare it to what happened in June of last year, where he was looking at a situation where he might be DFA'd. In fact, when they were playing the Philadelphia series last year, his slash line at that time was 192, 276, 308. And his manager, Torrey Lovello, suggested that he do high-intensity training. You know, like hit the acronym high-intensity interval training and more high-intensity prep overall, to help him get back some of that burst he needed to return to form. And that's what happened. His last 80 games, he slashed .311, .357, .609. What a remarkable improvement. He said he put in that work in his routine. He was prepared for the game. He was ready, right? And he didn't have to wait two or three innings or two or three at-bats to get his body going. So the recovery time and the warm-up time changed. And he said after that happened, he felt like he re-unlocked his talent. So he's on an option right now for 2025. $17 million is what the Diamondbacks were able to pick up. But when I just consider his performance this year combined with him doing the work, how could you not love that as a candidate for somebody for your team?
Suarez leads all third basemen in Major League Baseball with 58 runs scored. Obviously, he leads all third basemen in RBI and home runs, 31 and 78. Respectively, 31 home runs and 78 runs driven in. He also, and here's the thing, just to give you kind of a measuring stick, Jose Ramirez, he's good at third base?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He has the second best slug, Jose Ramirez does, at .506. Suarez has the best. It's .569.
Wow.
Power. Raw. Unfiltered power.
unadulterated power.
All of it.
Well, maybe slightly adulterated because of the tense moments we saw from one Chicago White Sox in the All-Star game. Let's listen in on that.
Suarez looking.
Oh,
boy. No.
You're going to first. Man.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez, one of the top home run hitters in the league and one of the key trade deadline pieces, potentially.
Now this ball just gets away and rides in and catches nothing but that pinky. And that there's no way to cushion that.
Ah, and for a brief second there, we thought that all hell was going to break loose after Shane Smith accidentally, hit Eugenio Suarez in the pinky. But fortunately for Suarez, he ended up being okay. But that was the moment when I realized just how important this person's livelihood was to me, when it not just came to this segment, but how he was going to affect the entire trade deadline process,
well,
potentially.
The audible no that you heard there kind of just summed up how everyone watching that game felt seeing it. Not just because last thing you want to see is somebody get hurt in a freaking exhibition, but all the teams that are interested in his services were thinking, not another third baseman unavailable to us before we even get to the trade deadline.
But here's the problem. We still don't know if his services are even going to be available. Let's rewind to yesterday, the Foul Territory podcast. Our friends there do awesome work. And they also have a podcast called Snakes Territory. I love that for many reasons. You could be talking about a rattlesnake you find on a hike. You could be talking about something you saw at the zoo. You could be talking about baseball.
You could be talking about backstabbers, too.
Snakes Territory. In the media business, that really applies. So Snakes Territory host Jack Summers joined the Foul Territory podcast, and he had some insight because we don't even know what the team wants to do.
What general manager Mike Hazen has been talking about is how many teams they're behind and how far back are they. He's not really pegging it to a wins total. The question is are there enough games left before he has to make the decision? And it's starting to appear that there aren't. So in order for him to become an aggressive buyer, this team needs to get on a very hot run and give him the opportunity to add to the team. If he can add to the team, certainly the bullpen. He needs to pick up a couple of strong relievers to be able to sustain a run late into the season. They could probably use a left-handed DH as well. Pavin Smith got off to a hot start, then slumped for over 2 months, and now he's on the injured list with an oblique injury. So they really could use a good left-handed DH as well. But they've had, you know, a top 3, 4, 5 offense the entire year. So offense isn't the biggest need. They need pitching, and specifically bullpen.
Another team that needs pitching. Never heard that story before. Here's the thing I wanted to talk about. When he talks about how many teams they have to get past to get in the playoffs, as it stands right now, the Diamondbacks are 5.5 games out of the third and final wild card spot in the National League.
I like my chances.
The problem is they would have to jump over the Reds, who are 2.5 out.
That's a team
the Cardinals,
you respect.
Who are, yes, I definitely respect them. The Cardinals, who are 1.5 out. The Giants, who are a half game out. Oh, and the Padres, who actually are holding on to that third and final wild card spot.
The Padres have the third wild card right now.
Yeah.
That's how good the National League is. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. We are stalking Eugenio Suarez, who we think might be a good candidate for, well, just about everybody, but also the Cubs, here at the trade deadline.
Also in the category of what have you done for me lately? His last 23 games, this is what Eugenio Suarez has done.
Yes.
23 games, 10 home runs, 20 runs driven in, a .299 batting average, a .344 on base, a .701 slug. That's a 1.045 OPS.
Anything over 1,000 is pretty remarkable.
It's Hall of Fame level if you can maintain it, but most people don't.
No. That's it. So the Diamondbacks right now, as you mentioned, 46 and 47. That's a big piece of this, too, because we're also thinking about, not just for this particular segment being Suarez, but Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, Josh Naylor. The Diamondbacks could really put themselves in a position to succeed for the long term if they decided to become sellers. But at the same time, they put in a lot of efforts to try to contend in a very, very, very tough NL West as well. I just appreciate what he's done with also just, let's go with the first 91, the first half, or a little bit better than the first half. 251, 325, 63 slash line, 29 home runs, 2.6 wins above replacement. That's Fangraphs. And just his second All-Star game this year for his career. You think in all those years he was with the Reds that it would have happened, but thanks to the training changes that he has made, he's put himself in this position. Let's hear from him on MLB Tonight, talking about what he did to get himself into form.
MLB Central, great show in the morning, did an amazing segment on you. I don't know if you saw it. It was Mark DeRosa and Albert Pujols. Did you see it?
No, I don't. But right, Mark, talk to me about it.
Here's video. We're showing you an image of what D-Row discovered. In April of last year, your batting stance was closed. Then in July, you opened up your stance. And then he's showing you where you're hitting now. Look at the difference in your hands. Since July of last year, you went on a torrid pace, well over 20 home runs. You were barely over 200 before that. He also showed your feet in the batter's box. And he showed that not only are you opened up to the pitcher more, but you've moved up in the batter's box.
Towards the pitcher.
You're towards the pitcher. Did D-Row nail all of this? Did he check all the boxes? Is this accurate in your new approach?
I mean, last year I thought, in the beginning of the season, I tried something to be sure to get that strikeout less strikeout in my career, because I'm the guy who strike out a lot. And I tried that, and then it doesn't work. And this game is about adjustment. So I got a conversation with our hitting coach, and they give me this little tip, and I just, you know, try so hard in the middle of the July after the All-Star break. I come in with that thing, and like you say, turns my hip into the pitcher, and to try to catch a breaking ball out from the play, you know. And obviously I got a good resource, and I got confident on that, and I just got it natural now, you know. Like I say, this game is about adjustment, and that's what I've been doing last year and this year. I just want to keep having it, you know, not change anything, like I say.
Aw, doesn't that warm your heart? I feel like that's such wholesome content from Eugenio Suarez.
I got to tell you, I went through a lot of this audio yesterday, and I didn't know much about Eugenio Suarez other than I love when Pat Hughes says his name.
Eugenio.
And after this segment, to anyone listening, I have to dare you, now double dare you, now triple dare you, to not come away from this segment loving Eugenio Suarez.
Well, here's something that will really make them love Eugenio Suarez, as if they needed a reminder. The best thing about getting Eugenio Suarez on your team is that you don't have to see him in the batter's box against your team. Against the Cubs, he's played 132 games, right? He's hitting .266. His on-base is .349. His slug is .540. That's an .889 OPS. His 36 home runs against the Cubs, more than against any other team in Major League Baseball, of course, from all that time he spent playing in the division.
And he's coachable. Listen to how coachable he is. He's like, oh, you think that I should work out harder? Okay. Let me make these adjustments and figure out how to get better at the plate. Okay. And look what happens. He hits 4 home runs in a single game this year in his age 33-34 season. And he makes a second career All-Star game. And that's just lovely. That's wholesome for me. It heals my cold, dead heart to know that somebody puts in the work and they're that open to it, and it's paying off in these dividends. I just hate that it's not for the Cubs.
I just, when we talk about wish lists, right, at the trade deadline, as far as hitters go, how could he not be at the top of your wish list of guys who are clearly going to be rentals if you get them?
Should we listen to more Eugenio Suarez?
Yes,
can
absolutely.
We listen to him after he talked about hitting 4 home runs in a game?
Obviously, it's awesome. You know, I never thought in my life that I'd be able to hit 4 home runs in a game. To be honest, it feels great. I just want to thank God for this opportunity. It's very special for me, you know, to be able to then doing that here in Arizona, doing for my team, doing for my family. They watch me every single day. They support me, my teammates, and that's awesome. Obviously, it's a mixed feeling right now because we wouldn't win the game, but this is baseball. That's why this game is so special, and I just want to glorify God with this with this game today. He just gave it to me. It's a gift, you know, and I don't take it for granted. I've been working so hard, and I think that was more special for me, you know, doing it in front of all the people. Like I say, they've been cheering for me all game long since I hit that first one. I see a few fans that I cheer for me, and they say they're going to hit more than one today. So it was awesome doing in front of them, and I see the crowd after that I hit my four homers. They were crazy, you know. It was awesome.
Aww. Aww, indeed. I mean, come on, man. Stop. It's the middle of the day. You can't have me out here in my fields.
Why not?
In broad daylight where other people can see me.
Man, don't you just like this guy?
We're talking about Eugenio Suarez. He's the third baseman on the Diamondbacks, but he might be the third baseman somewhere else, and there's an argument to be made. He should be the next third baseman, the Chicago Cubs. Look, I'm not knocking on Matt Shaw. I haven't given up on Matt Shaw, but if your window is now, we don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Tucker at the end of the season. Get whatever you need to make the strongest push you can make. That is the point here. And with Suarez, you feel like that's a guy who can get things done. We've seen it before, and I just wonder if they have the ammunition to go out and get both a top-of-the-line pitcher, and when I say top-of-the-line, I mean top-of-the-line of what's available starting pitcher, and also get an upgrade on the level of Eugenio Suarez.
I think if he is dealt, whichever team decides to go for him, you know that there's going to be a big-time reaction in the clubhouse. Like, you know, that is going to be one of those, oh, we got that dude, let's go. Like, you want to be there to see the motivation and the reaction from people like that when that kind of move occurs.
Suarez is great, man. That's just bottom line. If you're trying to win and win now and you need a right-handed bat, a power bat, few options are giving you as much power that are trade eligible or not. Guys who you know aren't moving. I mean, he's a top-tier player. At least he has been this season specifically. Again, it's been 6 years since he's been an All-Star. But he's put up good power numbers since then. And he can continue that as a member of the Cubs or whoever decides to trade for him if the Diamondbacks decide to make a move at all.
Uno mas! One more time from Eugenio Suarez. Let's hear from him after he hit his 300th home run of his career on June 20th.
This is the gift, you know. I feel so proud of myself. I've been working so hard all my career. And, you know, see that, you know, put everything on the field, try to help my team win games, and came here and doing it in front of my wife and my daughter. They came and watched me. So it's even more special, you know, and it's something that I always dreamed. And today the dream come true, you know. A little guy from Venezuela, Ciudad PR, hit a 300 homer right now in big leagues. That's awesome. And I feel so blessed. I feel so good and so proud of myself. And I feel so good right now. I feel so happy. I want to cry because, like you say, a year ago, like my career maybe went down for a lot of people, you know, but not for me. I never lost my belief. I always work hard. I know what I can do. And today I show up like that, you know. Now I put my name in that list and I feel blessed.
Aww. Oh, dang indeed. It. Okay, here's my plan.
Oh, you got a plan?
Yeah, I got a plan. All right, here's the thing. I have no money, and I can't sign anybody or trade anybody. I have no prospects. But I have Ozzie Guillen and this pool party at Four Winds Casino. And there's a good chance that because Eugenio Suarez is Venezuelan, that I can talk to Ozzie, and that Ozzie can try to do some work on the side. And so we can try to figure something out.
Are we trying to get him on the White Sox? What are you talking about?
No, Ozzie could pitch him for the Cubs. Ozzie loved Kyle Hendricks. He thought he was one of his, you know, favorite players at the time he was pitching for the Cubs. So I feel like in this case, Ozzie would be like, yeah, I want him in my city. I'll ask Ozzie. I'll see what he thinks.
Go get him, baby.
Ozzie will have a plan.
You've got the inside track. He's got the inside track. Connect your tracks.
If there's one thing we like to do, it is scheme. So I feel like Ozzie and I can scheme a plan together.
I also am
for
a plotter.
Our mythical baseball league, you know, hanging out at Four Winds Casino.
Fans.
Now, the American League East, it looked like the Yankees were just going to cruise start to finish, but the Blue Jays have been the hottest team in baseball and enter the break in first place in the division for the first time since 93, the last time the Blue Jays won it all.
And watch out, the Red Sox have won 10 in a row. I'm sure the All-Star break came at the wrong time for them.
Javier Baez takes inside. I've been saying, watch out
for these
Red Sox. And people are like, watch out, 10 in a row for the Sox.
How about those Red Sox? Here we were thinking that maybe Alex Bregman might be available for someone who needed a third baseman. You know, like the Cubs, who were interested in Alex Bregman in the offseason and didn't get him. And now the Red Sox are going to help Spiegs win a bet.
I hope so. That'd be fun. Our buddy Rob Bradford, our Odyssey teammate, who does the wonderful Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and does so many things for Odyssey family in Boston, will appreciate the bet, Lawrence. Rob, I bet that the Red Sox would finish the season with a better record than the Yankees.
And he did it out of spite.
100% spite bet, dude. And it's looking good right now. They're only a game back. Let's keep going.
Well, two things. Number one, there's no two people I'd rather be talking to right now than you two. Thank you so much for having me on. And second of all, when you said that Matt had a bet, I was worried. Did I bet him something? Is this something that I'm always aware? Because I throw a lot of stuff around at the end of spring training, which looked kind of silly when you cut around this time of year. So, hey, it could happen. It could happen. It's been a nutty year, but good to talk to you guys.
Rob joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. What was your experience in Atlanta like?
You know what? I liked it. You know, I think that selfishly, everything was in one place, which is why I like Cleveland. Bizarrely, everything's in one place. You don't have to go. You don't have to go miles upon miles. Everything's in one place at that Battery area. They had the important stuff. The media availability, the drafters inside, so you're not just sweating under the sun. And I've always said this about the Braves. I said this before the All-Star game. The Braves have the best game presentation of any team in the majors, and it's not even close. And I know that MLB was a big part of that last night, but oh my goodness, like the Henry Aaron thing, like everything. I thought it was pretty good. The striking thing about the game itself was how few stars are in it. I walked in the American League clubhouse and, you know, very well-meaning, excited guys, but, you know, Zach McKinstry and those sort of guys, it's, all right, yeah, congratulations for being here, but it is a stark difference from what it used to be.
That's interesting. I mean, there's some. You got Cal Raleigh, you got Aaron Judge. I mean, I guess the second
keep
realm.
Going.
Yeah,
keep going.
Yeah,
keep going. I mean, Schoolville. Yeah, but you know, it's I just like, and you know, Matt, like it's the thing is that when you walk into, it's sort of like how when I walked into the Red Sox clubhouse back in, you know, 2022, it was, wait a second, where's Ortiz? Where's Bogarts? Where's Betts? Where are all these guys? It's sort of the same feeling. It doesn't mean they're bad players, but it was just different. And I do think that the home run derby was cool because a lot of those players, which we might not have seen a whole lot, the Junior Caminero's and those sort of guys, O'Neill Cruz's, like that was awesome seeing those guys do what they did.
So for us, we've spent a lot of time this year talking about the breakout of Pete Crow Armstrong. And even in the last segment, we were talking about the breakout year for Pete Crow Armstrong. Is he breaking through outside of Chicago?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know how I know this? Because the media availability, he was one of like two guys who had the extra rope around his table. In other words, like you could, for everybody else, you could go right up to the table and, you know, get right in their face and throw their mic right in their face. There's only a couple tables that had sort of the extra rope, so you had to stand like sort of the NFL thing where you have to stand 10 feet or 5 feet away. Like, and I don't know if that was a coincidence or not, but it was noticeable. And when he entered the locker room, the clubhouse yesterday, it was boom, a ton of people right there. He has the personality. Everybody understands like what type of player he has become, this dynamic player. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes. And I also love the fact, a little like Pete Crow Armstrong fun fact, I was talking to Lucas Giolito the other day. Their mothers acted together, which I thought was a cool thing. So there you go. And the interesting thing just keeps coming for Pete Armstrong.
Yeah, it does. And then, so you've dealt a lot with Lucas. You've dealt a lot with Garrett Crochet. I think the last time that we interacted with stuff on this show, Lawrence, remember the Crochet stuff that he had from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast?
It was so good.
At the beginning of the year when Garrett had just come back.
We were out in Lindenhurst.
Yeah, we were. And now there's Crochet, the unquestioned ace, just absolutely dominant. Heart and soul. It's like he didn't pitch in the game, but he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Is he doing everything an ace is expected to do for a team in contention?
Yeah, you know, it's such an underrated thing, right? The ace protects the bullpen the day before, the day of, the day after. It's such an undervalued thing, I think, to have that guy. And when you don't have it, it's so striking. And when you do have it, it just changes everything, and it's really saved them. And their record when he pitched at the beginning of the year wasn't fantastic, but still, he really saved them because he was so good, because he was the one guy that you could count on, and he's been everything as advertised, including, by the way, dealing with being an ace, dealing with the environment, dealing with the expectations, dealing with the media. We forget how young this guy is, but he's done a really, really good job of managing all of it. And so, you know, you guys know him. I'm like, he's a good guy, but still, you're still throwing in the deep end after just 1 year of doing this. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the Red Sox are pretty happy. And conversely, you know, I think the White Sox, you know, the guys they got back, you know, I think that was for some of these trades, they really missed. I don't think they missed on that one. I think they got good players.
The Red Sox are going to be in town to take on the Cubs this weekend, 1:20 first pitch on Friday here on The Score as baseball returns. What's real about what we're seeing over the last 2 weeks with the Red Sox?
Ooh, that's a great question. Because I can't say that it's absolutely real, no doubt about it, that this is scientifically proven. But, you know, what they've done recently, it's hard to ignore. I think what is real is that they know what they need at the deadline. Right, they know that they need another guy who can pitch in the postseason. You have Giolito, you have Crochet, you have Bayo, but you don't know who's going to take a turn, and you have to protect yourself there. That is the thing that has carried them. But the offense, the guys, I mean, I don't know how the view was from there with the Rafael Devers stuff. That was the craziest stuff that I've seen, certainly in a June baseball season, in a long, long time. Because there were so many elements of it. And I was in Seattle for that first week after Devers got traded, and it was a bizarre scene. And then they go on and lose so many games. It looks like they can't score a run at all without Rafael Devers. And boom, out of nowhere, this Roman Anthony's good. The platoons are good. You're scoring 10 runs a game. So to answer your question, I like to think that, you know, this is for real. But I still don't know if you can do that because they were 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break last year and fell apart.
So are they locked and loaded as a buyer? Or, like, do these 2 weeks matter that start on Friday?
I mean, it would have to be a disaster for them to be sellers. And, you know, Matt, I think that the one thing, even when there was sort of in between and you were sitting at 500, even below 500, and people say, well, you're a buyer or you're a seller, I said, all I know is this. I don't know if I've seen this front office more motivated to be buyers. That doesn't mean they're going to land there and be buyers, but more motivated because they know they pushed the chips to the middle of the table with this Devers thing. The timing of it, the magnitude of it, all of that. When you do that deal in the middle of June, then you better make sure that the first step of understanding if that was a good move or a bad move is if you're a buyer or seller at the deadline. So I know that they were absolutely motivated to be a buyer, and now they're good. They have a good record. They can actually be the buyer. But the problem is, guys, is that the things they want to buy, like elite starting pitching, good luck with that, man. Like, good luck. Like, that is the hardest thing to get at the deadline. And I remember Brendan Gomes, the Dodgers GM, was on the podcast. He said, our goal every offseason is to get to the trade deadline so that we don't have to pay three times what we normally have to pay. position yourself so you aren't desperate. Well, what happens is that you're still desperate. Every team is desperate. Unfortunately for the Red Sox, they're desperate for the thing that's going to cost the most.
Rob Bradford is with us on Spiegel and Holmes. Rob, in this town, we have a very charming, historically relevant ball club with a beautiful vintage stadium that finally broke through and won a World Series. And we wonder just how motivated ownership is to do that again. In Boston, there is virtually the same thing. Now, they won three times. Are they motivated to win it again and again?
I assume you're not talking about guaranteed rate field, right?
We I appreciate you not participating in White Sox erasure, because we have seen a lot of White Sox championship erasure, and I'm glad that someone like you who loves the game did not participate in it. I am sending you a White Sox jersey.
We have a flurry of baseballs and boring black and white t-shirts just for the White Sox. I love the White Sox. I don't love their Uber and Lyft locations, but I love the White Sox. So I will say this, is that, you know, it's funny when you're talking about that. You know, Tom Werner slipped up before last season, and he said, you know, people are going to come for the Fenway experience. And everyone's like, really? Like, it was like the scene at the end of the movie Flight where Denzel Washington says, I just ran out of lies. I just had to tell the truth. And that's how it felt. They're like, we give up. Like, people are just going to come, and they're going to come for the Fenway experience. You know what? I just look at it like I just think that the Cubs are really good, man. Like, I love the fact that we're coming out of the gate with this series. I love the fact of, like, what the Cubs – I know that people will pick apart their roster, and like, they're going to pick apart every one of these rosters. But I love that, you know, how good they are, how good defensively they are. And also, selfishly, I also like some of the personalities on the team, guys. Like, I think that goes a long way. I talked about this with the Dodgers last year, where, you know, I thought an underrated thing about that team was that bullpen of how many personalities you have were just securing themselves. They weren't worried about, you know, they're having a bad outing and then they worry about they're going to be sent down. Like, I love that dynamic. I love the veteran presence. I love the confidence, like we talk of PC, you know, like Pete Crow Armstrong. I love all of that. So, yeah, so I think I'm answering your question, because I had the movie Flight, that line in my head, so I may have missed the mark, but, yeah. I think that the Cubs, I love the Cubs, and I hope that they pack things out.
Rob, we really appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for giving us your point of view on everything that went down in Atlanta and what the current state of baseball. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event
and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.